Thank you to Fran and our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle.
Yay!
Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAFA. None of them.
CGA.
Not a one. We don't even speak
F-N-A.
That. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as you're about to find out. Matter of fact. Well, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley
and Mark.
Somebody wrote a comment, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but one show I said, you know, we don't speak that well for ourselves. And whatever was the line I said after that, and everyone said, oh, you did that wrong. And the guy, and someone pointed out, wrote down exactly what I said. And he goes, that actually works.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. But I screwed up.
But it was hilarious.
I screwed up. No. That wasn't hilarious.
What was hilarious?
Let Shelly tell you what was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. This is one of those moments, and I wish I had been videotaping. It was perfect for YouTube.
I wish you had, too.
I had to actually sit cross-legged in the chair to stop laughing long enough to make it safe to go to the bathroom without peeing my pants. It was that funny. You know, everybody knows that Bruce gets into his fail videos.
I'm a YouTube junkie when it comes to fail videos, because watching other people fail make me feel better about my own life.
Well, I don't really like the fail videos. They make me cringe a little. I'm like, oh, no, don't do that. You're going to fall. Oh, you fell. I hate that.
Yeah.
But I was sitting in the Mugsy chair, which is kind of kitty corner behind the computer, for those of you who have never been in our lovely studio. Because I was just sitting there, kind of chilling out, trying to breathe, and half watching what he's watching on his computer. He's on YouTube and he's watching fail videos. And he brings up a new video, and it's of a woman who is practicing the discus throw for track and field.
Uh-huh.
And she swings the discus out, and it wham, right into the camera. And Bruce went, ah! And jumped backwards in his chair, smashes his Pepsi can. Diet Pepsi goes all over him, his jacket, his glasses, his pants, the floor, the chair.
It was hilarious.
It was... He got so into watching the videos that when the discus hit the camera, it was like 3D for him, and he like flipped backwards. It was hilarious.
I took a shower in Diet Pepsi.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, even though I would have been the butt of many jokes, that would have been a fantastic... What better fail video than a guy that fails watching a fail video? I mean, because there's a lot of fails. I don't know if you've ever seen the thing before where... It's a game, and you're supposed to drag this little cursor between this kind of thin thing, and you get near the end, and you're really concentrating on the screen, and there's like three levels of this thing. The first one you get through real easy, the second one's a little harder, the third one, you're really concentrating, and then like Linda Blair, the Exorcist, comes up on the screen, and people like literally fall out of their chairs and things. So that's like a fail video, watching a fail. But this was... You know, she does the once around with the discus, she lets it go, it comes straight at the camera... Which, you don't want to be the guy that was holding that camera.
No.
Because
that hit him too.
I don't know how heavy that is, the discus.
Yeah.
But it's heavy enough to go right through that little handheld camera you got.
Yes.
And into your skull.
That's funny. That's just funny.
Dude, I was laughing hard, and I was showered in Diet Pepsi. We're just getting ready to go somewhere too. And I'm like, oh, that's perfect. So, what do you got coming up this week, Mark? Anything good?
No, just back first of the year. Not really. Just, back at it.
Back at it again.
Back at it again.
Back in the saddle again. But however, you are now taking a enhanced role in your alternate program, right?
Well,
I with mean, our I'm, friend
I'm,
Marty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm co-leading a step study that we do there, so it's going to be very interesting, very fun. I'm looking forward to
well,
it.
Well, what's cool about you is while you
well,
are
there's a lot
new,
of things cool about me. What do you gonna, well, what do you pick out on this time?
While you are see, he's got the humble trophy over near him again.
I do.
While you are new at working the program in EPE, you have a lot of experience with steps in other programs, so that makes you kind of a perfect person for that.
I've seen them before, yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
And you've taken a lot of people through them.
Yeah. So
now is I just I'm guessing is Marty your sponsor in FA?
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
now
we normally don't identify our sponsors in the program, but that was pretty obvious. So I think everybody
kind of well, you know,
figured that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, here comes the question because we've talked about this many times. Mm-hmm. We've had this as a show topic, mm-hmm. where we say there's no double dating. So now, do you have 31 years or do you have like 6 months or 5 months? What do you have?
I have 31 years.
But away from food addiction?
No.
That's kind of like, I mean,
like a heroin addict saying I've got 11 months off heroin and 3 months off alcohol?
No, I don't think so, because I think they, although the ism remains the same, they operate on different levels. It's like when I say I have 10 years sober, which is true, I only have 8.5 years away from self-harm. And I don't look at it as a double date because the other thing did not impact my life the same way that the alcohol did.
Yeah,
I have one sobriety date, but technically you could say I have two.
Yeah.
But
it's
I
like,
don't.
It's like the people who decide after the number of years in program to quit smoking.
Or that have, let's say you are you've been quit drinking 25 years ago and you quit gambling 7 years ago.
Right. Yes. But if I quit cocaine 14 years ago, but for the last few years I've really cut down to just a few beers.
Okay, that doesn't work.
That was really strange. We have a monitor, another monitor in the studio. I thought it was off, but something just came up on it a second ago.
NSA thing?
Bruce?
Yes?
I have told you on multiple occasions that computer has been on and running ever since you brought it home. You keep saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. I keep saying, yes, it is. Now, will you believe me?
They're back.
The box is not running, but the monitor might be on. Because that monitor said no signal. Came up and said no signal. If the computer was on, it wouldn't say no signal. I will have to figure out. Well, there's the power button on it right there.
They're listening to us.
Wow, you know what? That monitor has been on for like six months.
Longer than that.
Longer than that.
Yeah. It's just been seeping.
Well, the good thing is something came up on the monitor.
That's good. Which
means it still works. That's
well, good, because you're going to be making the full transition into the man cave soon.
No, you better get ready to re-download all your stuff.
Not a problem. I've already put it onto a disc. I'm onto a stick.
Really?
Yep.
You put all your programs like Word and live Windows Mail and all that.
Is this all
onto
wrap
a
around?
Disc?
Is this all going to wrap around when we start taking calls and things like that?
I hope so.
Okay.
I don't need to.
Oh, so this comes pre-installed with all that on it? I don't think so.
No, I just take them off of that one because it doesn't go on that computer because those are given to me for work.
Ooh.
And I just install them on that one.
Right. That's what I said. You have to install them on this.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, okay. All right. You had a lot of problems installing them on that one.
Don't worry. I got a nail now.
Sweet. You know what that means.
What?
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. for you or someone you love. Visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
Oh, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. Our dudes are like on task, on target, on fleek.
I wasn't quite sure I wanted to be standing at that moment. At least my ankles weren't.
Shelly went to go. You know, Shelly almost fell again.
I'm okay.
You are 2 feet from the chair.
Yeah, I got it. I got this.
We were walking across the parking lot one day, and I look over. Shelly's on one knee down on the ground. I said, "What happened?" And she said, "My knee was not agreeing with me to walk right now."
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Now.
Today it's my ankle.
What's Shelly investigating? CBD. You know what CBD is?
Come forward.
No.
It's a... Basically, marijuana has two really active chemicals in it.
THC.
THC and CBD. Now, CBD doesn't get you loaded, and generally speaking, from what I understand, there are strains of weed that are higher in CBD and lower in THC. Those are the weed that you don't want to smoke because it doesn't really get you stoned. But CBD is a chemical that they can pull out of weed that apparently, according to many people, has a lot of good uses, medical uses. But they haven't really used them before recently because nobody ever wanted weed that was, you know, had anything but high levels of THC. Now, right. CBD, they can pull out of the weed and there's no psychoactive drugs to it. But that's one thing that we're looking at now that, well, they made, you try to make CBD a controlled substance and like weed smokers are like, yeah, go ahead. We don't care because nobody wants CBD.
Except for patients and their doctors who are actually using it.
Well, that's what I mean. It's yeah. Like because people are getting loaded don't want it because there's no active ingredient in it.
We have shout-outs to Sally, Dakota, Randy, Susan, Georgette, Jack, Fran, John, Alexandria, Lisa, John, Mitch, Megan, Natalie, Carol, Joey, James, Dan, Stryker, Alan Lee, Bill, somebody, Jane, Anthony, Neil, Sarah, Jonathan, and Phil M.
All right.
Are you guys done talking about soda?
No.
I'm telling
never.
You, Diet Mug root beer kicks the ass of Diet A&W. And I used to really like Diet A&W.
Yeah. Yeah.
Diet Mug is way better.
Yeah.
Bill sent this story in.
Pepsi product.
Hey, Bill.
This is in the West Bank in Israel.
Yeah.
I was going to say West Bank, Florida?
In
no,
the
I don't
Kibbutz
so.
Almog. And a gentleman named Guy Ehrlich. He's an Israeli farmer. But he doesn't grow crops you would think. He discovered a woman who owns what they thought at the time was possibly the last remaining Balm of Gilead tree.
The what?
Balm of Gilead, which is what they use to make myrrh, which is a medicinal substance.
Right, yeah. Which is frankincense and myrrh and
yes,
all
yes, frankincense and myrrh, which are ancient herbs, herbal remedies.
So he has a
people
forest
used them,
of these?
People used them for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Just to see if he could, he took a cutting from this woman who agreed to give it to him, and he now has over 100 trees. And he will make the myrrh and the frankincense for medicinal purposes for people. And he originally was doing it for financial reasons. You know, he was selling the stuff. But he's not raising his prices or anything, and he's not, like, really going at the market. He's not selling bits of his trees because for him it's mostly a charitable thing.
Is he giving it to babies?
Well, the thing
born
is,
in mangers.
Those two trees, the frankincense and myrrh, which of course were enshrined in the story of Christ's birth. Those two almost disappeared.
Christ calling,
along with the balsam tree, which is where balsam comes from.
Balsam wood, balsam
yes.
wood,
yes. Balsam, yes. They no longer grow in that area and were put on the endangered list because there were very, very, very few of the plants left. And he is on a mission to single-handedly basically bring back all of these plants, these biblical plants that were cultivated for thousands of years, and people use them for medicinal purposes.
I wonder if myrrh, like, you know, since it's been in such short supplies for so long, they only thought there was one tree in existence. I'd be really interested to find out if they find out that myrrh has like some really great anti-cancer quality or something that they never tested for before because there wasn't even enough to test.
I'm sorry, he doesn't have 100 of them. He has 1,000 of them. 1,000 comifora is the actual botanical name of the plant.
So nowhere else, like they don't have it anywhere like no. The arboretum or anything like that?
No, it was native to Yemen and Somalia. And of course, in those areas, there's been a lot of war and third world countries. Things get destroyed when there's war. And that's what happened to those. But hopefully, we can bring it back and maybe they will do research on it.
There you go.
That would be cool.
Ehrlich.
Yes. Neil sent this next story in, along with a picture of the Dwayne Wayne character from Red Dwarf, not the actual Dwayne Wayne from the British comedy series, but Red Dwarf.
Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne was the alter ego of the cat when he became a nerd after the polymorph sucked all his coolness away.
Yeah, no one's going to know what you're talking about.
No one will know that. But for some reason, Neil sent us a picture of that said, Happy Holidays. Thank you, Neil, because I am a Red Dwarf fan, so I totally got that.
And so am I.
Yes.
So I would get it, too. It's a really strange Happy Holidays thing, though.
And this story actually was a Christmas story from the UK he sent in. And for some reason, people in Britain needed to be warned of this, and I'm not sure why. But shoppers were told, what's the agency? It just says details.
The Agency of Funny Walks?
Oh, Immigration Minister said that the government was going to crack down on counterfeit goods and made a point of telling people that if they buy magic wands for their children for Christmas, that they may not do magic. They don't work.
Except for the Harry Potter broom. That does some magic.
That does some magic, yes. This was all in part of the way it reads, actually, the entire story is they were cracking down on counterfeit goods, anything from these, you know, Harry Potter fake wands and Pokemon cards and Nintendo and all this stuff.
So if it's a real wand from Harry Potter, then
yes,
it does do
then
magic.
Then it might work. But the way the story was written and the headline made it look like, okay, these are all counterfeit things. So do not be fooled by counterfeit wands. They may not work.
This is a counterfeit potion.
Yes.
This is a counterfeit, what is it, the cloak of hiding or something?
Invisibility. Invisibility cloak.
The invisibility cloak. Probably hiding. Won't work.
There's a reason why you don't name this stuff.
I see with some kid having it over the top of him walking into the girls' gym. Hey, that really doesn't work, man. We see you.
Fran sent this story in. Jacksonville.
Florida!
Yes. Sheriff's Office decided to conduct an investigation on complaints of a Santa giving out presents from the back of a U-Haul rental truck. So police decided to put him under surveillance, and they noticed that people would come up, and he would say, ho, 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 and he was wearing the full Santa suit with the hat and the beard and the whole bit. The police were a bit suspicious because they do sell drugs in that area.
Yeah.
And they noticed that people would come up to the U-Haul, and Santa would be very jolly and holly and go up to the cab of the truck or the back of the truck or whatever and hand over a package, and then the people would go away. And this happened several times before they decided to investigate Santa up close and personal, whereupon Santa ran away, his pants fell down, he tripped and fell, attempted to get away from the police again and got befouled in his pants, which were extremely large for him. And it turned out that Santa's presents were marijuana, ecstasy pills, mollies, a yellow, and here it says in the story, a yellow substance known to contain THC. So I'm guessing wax or oil or something. And a large quantity of money. And the police were quoted as saying, these are items that Santa should not have in his sleigh.
Wow.
You slay me.
Yes.
Can I throw in a story here? That my
I don't know. Can you?
That a sponsee sent. Little old lady arrested for making fur coats with neighborhood cats. Waco, Texas. She was 85 years old. She was a former fashion designer. They have her apparently under arrest. She was used to make the coats with cats that were her own, and she got too attached to them, so she started getting the neighborhood cats. They found 20 fur coats, and it took I can't remember how many it said, but it took a number of cats to make these fur coats.
I would say
it said she's going to spend up to 18 months in jail. Now, I have to say that the website that this came off of also has these following headlines. George Bush Sr. on UFOs, America can't handle the truth. Missouri pig brothel dismantled during FBI raid. Which I really want to click on that link and see. Missouri serial pumpkin rapist escapes medium security prison. And Arkansas 14-year-old girl expelled from high school for saying that Adam and Eve never existed.
A guy was plugging a pumpkin?
Apparently he was. So,
all right.
Rolla, Missouri. Asians cracked down on unsuspecting New Year's Eve partygoers at a Missouri pig farm yesterday. Made over the 40 arrests were made of allegations of bestiality and animal cruelty. Pigs appeared to be having a fine time.
Was Rosie there?
Rosie.
Rosie the pig or Rosie O'Donnell?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, I don't know. We can't explain why animal brothels seem to be in high demand in this region, explained psychologist Dane Banff. That human beings are allowed to unleash their wildest fantasies in such a context, even though illegal, might prevent such abuses as rape from being committed, she admits. But at the same time, having sexual relations with pigs is not considered to be a healthy behavior and should not be encouraged.
Was her home name Christine Brinkley?
The farmer and his sons could spend up to 5 years in prison.
It gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, hey, babe.
Other headlines from this page. Apple bearing image of
wait,
Christ.
Wait. Hold on. If I take out a gun the pig in the head and cut it into pieces, I'm feeding myself. If I treat the pig to a loving caress, I get 5 years in jail?
Yes.
He totally missed my joke.
Here you go. Man with multiple personalities wants his vote canceled after other self voted for Trump. I got to go look. This clearly is a bullshit site, but that makes me want to go look at it even more.
All right.
Sorry for that. Sorry for that boozy news interlude.
Okay. Sorry. I had to sneeze.
Bless you.
Fran sent this. I'm going to sneeze again, too. Fran sent this.
Bless you. Salut.
Fran sent this story in. I'm really glad that I'm not sneezing into my microphone. This happened in Wildwood.
Florida?
Yeah.
Oh.
Tahisha Parsons has been released on a $1,000 bond. She was arrested Saturday night on a charge of driving under the influence of alcohol.
Imagine that.
Which, you know, I mean, it happens. It happens. People get DUIs.
What's the real story here?
Her BAC was 0.269. Ooh. She was pretty loaded. She was also heavily pregnant.
Oh.
The arrest was interesting because on multiple occasions she attempted to take off all her clothes. She must have been drinking tequila.
She's your old sponsee.
Yes. The police had a heck of a time trying to prevent her from disrobing continuously.
I'm not drunk. I got 90 days.
St. Petersburg.
Florida!
Fran sent this one in, obviously. Ron Sorn, 34 years old, was arrested outside of Club Lust. That's the name of the club, Club Lust.
I'm going to have to investigate this
place. I know
place.
You are. I know. When he went into the bathroom to take a selfie of himself with his new handgun, which then went off and fired into the women's restroom next door.
Killing his wife of 16 years just happened.
Wait.
Are you sure? There's no hole in the wall in this place, right? His gun went off into the women's restroom?
Yeah.
No, there's not. It went through the wall.
A glory hole.
I'm guessing that, you know, a club with the name Club Lust probably is not built to code, and, you know.
Why would you think that?
First of all,
I'm just saying.
I got news.
Doesn't sound like something's built to last.
The room that we're built in is built to code and built to fairly recent code. I guarantee you could shoot a hole through this wall.
Yeah, I'm
guaranteed.
Sure. So he was arrested and charged with being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm. Yeah,
that's all it takes.
Possession of Xanax that was not prescribed to him, and possession of marijuana.
Did he hit anybody in the other room? Apparently
it doesn't
not.
Say in the story, so well, he probably didn't.
He didn't get arrested for manslaughter her,
yeah.
or anything.
So,
there's a Club Lust in New York. There's a Club Lust in Los Angeles. There's a Club Lust in Charlotte. There's a Club Lust in Brooklyn. There's a Club Lust in. I'm just saying.
Mark's already bookmarked it.
There's one in Greenville,
North Carolina.
The first review says this place rocks.
What is this, Yelp?
So many hot girls and it looks really cool. They're really friendly.
Matter of fact, the more money you have, the friendlier they get.
Yep.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Let's see. Oh, I thought this one was vaguely amusing. In Winnipeg, Jonathan McCullough got a $240 ticket for driving with an unsecured load. The unsecured load.
After talking about Club Lust.
As I'm reading reviews on Club Lust, you're talking about driving with an unsecured load.
Yes. The unsecured load was 4 inches of snow on the hood of his car.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. Well, apparently the law in Winnipeg does not specify what the unsecured load can be.
Yeah. Well, and you know what?
He's not the only one who's gotten a ticket for having snow on the top of his car.
Well, and the dumb thing is, seriously, if you're driving, you'd probably want to brush that 4 inches of snow because once you get going like speed, all that snow is going to come off your hood and on your windshield. But you probably got your windshield wipers going anyway, but that's ridiculous.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean hood. I meant the top, the roof of his car.
Okay, that's stupid.
Yeah,
it's going to go on someone else's car.
And apparently there are other people who get the same ticket.
Every car in Winnipeg has that.
I know, and it's not even... I saw the picture of the car with the snow on it. He took a picture of his car right after he got the ticket because he was baffled. It doesn't even look like that much snow to me.
It's 4 inches. It's only this much.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know. I just think that's really, really stupid. He said he's going to fight the ticket in court, and he's trying to spread awareness that you could possibly get a ticket for this, so watch out.
My aunt lives in an area of Northern California not known to get a lot of snow, and my aunt's snow is snowed in. It's not going anywhere. The car is underneath a pile of snow.
Well. Just because, we are now in a society of whiners.
Don't be such a whiner.
Yes, theology students at a university in the UK were handed trigger warning notices.
Oh, my God.
At the University of Glasgow in Scotland. And these are theology students.
That's a bonny wee Scotland.
So they were handed trigger warnings before they took the class Creation to Apocalypse, Introduction to the Bible, because there may be graphic mentions or scenes depicted of the crucifixion. I'm pretty sure that if you're a theology student, you already know that.
I'm pretty sure if you're Catholic, you already know that. There's usually one up on the wall.
Yeah. Critics of the university said they took the concept of trigger warnings too far.
Oh, you know what? All of that stuff is...
It's just bullcrap.
Wimp warning.
Yeah. The university defended its actions, saying that they had an absolute duty to care for all of our students.
Do they have comfort dogs and Play-Doh and crayons?
They said where felt coarse material may cause potential upset or concern, that they had to give a warning. And interestingly enough, they're not the only ones that have been made fun of for this. Strathclyde University gave warnings to students who were enrolled in the forensic science course. This is a police detective type of course. That there may be sensitive images involving blood patterns, crime scenes, and bodies in the presentations in class.
Well, duh.
Duh. If you are trying to be a forensic scientist, that's what you're there to learn.
Yeah, that'd be like saying... At the medical school saying, you might see images of a cut open body. Yeah, it's a surgery school, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the whole thing is
stupid. This
is world
gone mad, this kind of stuff.
What's the warning at the Undertaker school?
Yeah. Yeah, you might see a dead body.
Some members of Scottish Parliament and Liz Smith, who is the Cabinet Education Secretary, called the warnings ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they're right.
She said, what's next? Are you going to tell archaeology students they might see human bones?
Right?
Ooh, that'd be traumatic.
Yeah.
We dug somebody up. What were you doing? An archaeological dig.
Hello, world, grow a set.
You might see farmers in Missouri. You might see pigs having sex. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Trigger warning. Oh. We should put a trigger warning on this show for people
That would be funny, a trigger warning at the beginning of the show.
For people who are extremely upset by examples or depictions of gross idiocy.
Oh, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah. You should bring this up.
Trigger warning.
What?
One of our old friends has a recovery show. Black and White Recovery.
I know.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Black and White Recovery. He mentioned us in the show.
And we've mentioned him in ours.
Yes, we have.
So there.
Yeah. He even told people they should go listen to us.
So because
when he said he wasn't on the show anymore, his partner said, oh, a little resentment there.
Yeah, I like him.
The partner? Or?
I like them both.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, it makes you two of you.
Wow.
Well, actually, I've never met his radio partner. He might be a perfectly nice guy.
Ow.
I am 100% sure he doesn't listen to this show.
No.
But you know what he said?
What?
He said that the reason why he wasn't on the show anymore is we were going to be too recovery-oriented. And I'm like, well, it's a recovery show.
We're not that recovery-oriented.
Yeah, well, we've got 20 minutes of the show is
30 minutes
dedicated to recovery, and the rest of it's dedicated to not.
Which 30 minutes do we dedicate to recovery?
The last 30 minutes.
No.
20 minutes.
No.
Yeah, when we have the topic.
Five of it, maybe.
When we have the topic.
And finally.
Oh, thank God for that.
Dun, dun, dun.
In Pennsylvania at the York Haven boat launch, police pulled...
At the boat launch?
Well, yeah, it's at the marina.
Gotcha.
At the part of the marina where you launch boats. Police were following a woman. I guess she looked sketchy. I don't know. They were trying to pull over, and she started fleeing from them.
Did she drive down the boat launch?
She decided to gun the engine and barrel right down the boat launch into the Susquehanna River. She is a professional. I am in awe of this woman. When the police ran up and waded into the water as her vehicle is beginning to sink, it wasn't going to sink very far because she didn't drive very far into the water. She calmly sat, continuing to drink her beer and refused to get out of the vehicle until she was done.
Got a girl.
They did a thing on...
You know, different things constitute an emergency in different people.
Yes, that's
I'm
true.
Just right. Saying.
That's
well,
true.
They did a thing because here's this gal, you know, now she maybe it's not going to sink that far, but I saw Mythbusters one time. They were talking about how you have to, you know, can you open the door of a car once it goes underwater? And you clearly cannot. You cannot. There's
they tried it, and
even they were wearing scuba gear to see if, you know, when there's air that, you know, like supposedly you can, you know, you have to start rolling down the windows and get the guy almost drowned. I mean, you have to really, you have to let the water get up to where you can grab your last breath and then open the door. Otherwise, you cannot open the door.
Yeah, because you got
to. Now, if you have beer, though, in your mouth, you may be able to breathe off the carbonation. Maybe that's her thing.
Okay, I lied. We have one more story.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys remember a couple of months ago, we had the story of the guy who was arrested and spent like a week in jail because the cops said that his Krispy Kreme donut glaze bits on the floor were methamphetamine.
Right. This is a follow-up?
Yes. And he actually got off on that charge, obviously, and I'm pretty sure he's suing at this point because he lost work, he lost money. I mean, his reputation went down the toilet and blah, blah, blah. No, this is a separate story, but it's akin to that. In Houston, Texas, a gentleman on December 1st, there was a traffic stop in which, what is his name? His last name is LeBeau, Ross LeBeau. was arrested for possession of half a pound of methamphetamine. It was in a sock. Now,
in a sock.
His sister had a matching sock full of methamphetamine in her car. These socks were given to them December 1st by their father because he said that it helped keep the inside of the vehicle from getting fogged up in the winter.
Oh, what is it?
It's that kitty litter that looks like crystal. That white and blue crystal kitty litter stuff.
Oh, my God. I see it. Sergeant Stadenko saw it, and he says, "This you can tell this is great cocaine because of the blue crystals."
They took him into custody. He was in jail for 4 days, lost work, lost money. He had all kinds of people found on his phone leaving messages about, "I can't believe you were involved in drugs. It's all over the news." Everybody in town is talking smack about him. They're talking smack about his sister, who said, "Wait a minute. I got a sock of this stuff. This isn't meth. This is cat litter. Our dad gave it to us." And nobody believed them. They even ran drug tests, field tests on this stuff, and it came back positive for meth, just like the Krispy Kreme guy. Clearly, the field drug tests do not work. Because then the stuff was immediately sent to a lab because he claimed... Everybody in the family said, no.
The lab said, "Hey, this is cat litter."
Everybody in the family said, no. We started doing this years ago because it does help keep moisture out of your car in the winter. It's really absorbent cat litter. So they sent it to the lab. It came back, "Hey, this is cat litter. This is not methamphetamine." So now, but the guy has lost his job.
Yeah, but now he's suing for $500,000, so
His reputation is down the toilet.
No, it's like, not, because he's going to be absolved of everything. As a matter of fact, it's going to be the greatest bar story of all time.
Because no great story starts with a salad.
And Ellen will have one.
Yes, hopefully she will.
You know what? The only thing that this guy is missing is a Chewbacca mask.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey everyone, it's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips, they've got regular chips, they've got medallions, they've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. A bit of every sale goes to sponsor people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
We're back.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up? I used to love those commercials.
Yep.
It shows my intelligence level. It's kind of like the Bud
Why
Rainier
Beer. Yeah.
Those are my favorites.
I loved all that crap. We have a topic.
We do. Shelly's idea.
Yeah, because I'm tired of talking about cranky, crappy, mean, nasty
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Cranky,
crappy. I wanted something happy and uplifting.
What you got?
Program blessings. Talk amongst yourselves.
I've been blessed with tolerance to put up with ignorant newcomers that I have to listen to every week. There, how's that for a start?
Wait. I'm not so sure if that's a blessing or an affliction for you.
The blessing.
They want you to say the blessing.
The blessing.
He's just going to say that 20 times.
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. That was so funny. Christmas vacation. So, Shelly, what kind of blessings do you have?
Wow.
Blessings of good health.
Sorry. I went to talk and I inhaled saliva.
Inhaled phlegm?
Yes. I wouldn't say that I've been blessed with good health, but I'm still sucking air. And my motto for this year is, as long as you're still sucking air, everything else can probably be fixed. So.
Wow, good final words. This is not music, bye.
So, I mean, to me,
shortest show of the year.
You know, and I have options. I've been blessed with options that we're exploring. I've been blessed with 10 years of recovery.
With what? 10 years of recovery?
Yes. Yeah.
So you're a tenured recovery person now?
Well, I got 10 she in has tenure. October.
Yeah, you have tenure.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm tenured. Yes, I am. I'm tenured. Does that mean I graduated?
It means you can't be fired. Even if you out and get drunk, you can still remain a sponsor and keep your time. After 10 years.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing that.
You're a tenured alcoholic.
I don't know. I mean, the program itself, I wouldn't have. There's a lot of stuff I wouldn't have if I didn't have the program. I wouldn't even be living here. I would be probably living in my mother's basement right now. If I was still alive, that is.
You know what? If I look back on it, if I had had you 31 and me 27 more years of getting loaded, I wouldn't even made it 27 more years. There's no way. Been dead a long time ago.
Yeah, I was pretty much circling the drain for the final call when I got here. So,
yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. The way you were drinking, 2/5 a day, 10 more years of 2/5 a day.
I would have died long before that.
Yeah. If you were lucky.
My pancreas was already on the way out.
Of course, God, you know, doesn't always kill alcoholics that way. He likes to make you suffer. You're like, karma's a bitch, motherfucker.
I did.
What kind of blessings do you... How are you blessed, Mark? What kind of blessings you got?
Every day, man. My eyes open. Start there.
You wake up on this side of the dirt. It's all good.
Man, you know, it's just... As I go through every day, I am so grateful. I mean, I am at the age right now that my great-grandfather passed away at.
I'm at the age right now that my brother passed away at.
Yeah. You know, so it's like... Look, I wake up and it's just, it can be whatever I want it to be, you know, and I'm so grateful that, you know, there's programs and things out there that are made to help someone as sick as I am.
True. Well, Shelley.
Well, one thing, though, I've noticed is very easy. Once we get our lives on an even keel, we've worked the steps, we're being of service, we're doing all the stuff we're supposed to do, we have jobs, we have lives, little things trap us up and help us and make us, force us, cause us to forget how blessed we are to be where we are. Yeah. And, you know, staying in gratitude can get hard, at least for me. This holiday season was really rough on me. And I had to fight real hard to stay grateful for anything.
I know.
Because I had like several wobbly jelly meltdowns because I was homebound. I was totally isolated, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And there were days when I didn't really want to walk from like the chair to the other chair. And a year ago, I didn't have that. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed, and it kind of hit me like a Mack truck, and it was really, really hard the last few weeks for me to stay into gratitude until, interestingly enough, I got angry.
Oh.
And then when I got angry, I had something I could work with.
It came in like a wrecking ball?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, don't sing that song. Jeez. And then...
came in like a wrecking ball.
Well, and then I made what I called online as my effing gratitude list.
If you've never seen it, you have to go on YouTube and you have to look up the Wrecking Ball parody. And it's got this guy, it's called like the Chat Roulette Wrecking Ball parody. And this guy does the Wrecking Ball song and he even has like a Wrecking Ball in his living room. He's some YouTube star. It's freaking hilarious. And you see the reactions of people watching him do it. It's fantastic. See, the funny thing, when you were talking about, you know, we forget how blessed we are. And I said this on the show a long time ago, but years ago, I am at work, and there had been the big tsunami, you know, just hundreds of thousands of people. And I'm watching these tsunami videos, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, the video's coming up, and the thing's turning around while it's waiting to load, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, God, my internet freaking sucks. And I'm waiting to watch tsunami videos of literally people's lives getting washed away. and I am bitching that my internet isn't fast enough to watch these guys get their lives washed away. And I'm thinking, what a lame MF-er I am. I mean, seriously, I'm bitching because my internet's not fast enough. And, you know, these people are grabbing their kids and trying to run out of the way, and cars are floating away, and people are dying. And I'm like, what an idiot. What an idiot you are.
I can't believe we still even talk to you.
I'm sitting in my warm...
We should do our own show.
No kidding.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm sitting in my warm store that I own, my business, and I'm getting ready to go home to my house that I own, and, you know, and I'm got this new computer that I'm watching, and my internet's not fast enough. I'm just like, oh, my God. I actually wrote a big Facebook post about that, and I'm like, I'm a complete fucking jackass. Because
and
that's
no one argued with you.
That's the way I felt about it afterwards, you know? And people were like, oh, my God, I see what you're saying. You know, I mean, every day that we wake up, we should be grateful. I mean, even if it wasn't for the alcohol and addict things. I mean, you know, we live in a country where, you know, it's not like Aleppo or something where or in the, you know, the West Bank or where shit is blowing up all the time. You know, we have no idea how good we really have it in comparison to a lot of places. You know, now it could be argued that, you know, I might want to live on some beach in, you know, Tahiti or something like that. But, you know, I mean, we're pretty lucky, you know. I mean, there's not a lot of countries that have as few terrorist activities as us. I mean, there are places, you know, but, you know, I think we're pretty lucky. And that's not even counting the fact that I should have been dead years ago. I mean, literally, I mean, I overdosed twice, you know, and I should have been dead both of those times. And it's just, you know, by the, you know, I remember one of my sponsors told me one time, well, God is obviously keeping you sober for a reason because you should have been dead. And I remember I told him, I go, what if the reason was some dude I helped yesterday? And he's like, well, then I guess you're going to die any minute. And I'm like, well, what the hell? What the hell?
TikTok. Your minutes are numbered.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they seem to need continued help.
Yes, there's always a new one.
Because that's always seems to be the solution to when the times when I'm not living in gratitude is invariably I will hear some newcomer or a sponsee open their mouth and expel gas. That immediately makes me grateful.
That you're not them?
Yeah.
I have a sponsee that had gone out in quite spectacular fashion.
He did.
Who's got 44 days.
Are you sponsoring him again?
I never really stopped, but he's got 44 days, so...
Oh, good.
He seems to be pretty happy about
that
it.
That means I'm not sponsoring him anymore.
Well, you know what's funny is when he talks about, when you hear him talking about things like, you know what? I got to go out and eat, and, you know, and I had money to do this, I had money to do that, and he goes, you know, wasn't always like that. I go, well, it was like that for a long time till you ran out. And he goes, well, that's true.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like he's got a chance to get into some kind of trade school where he can, you know, get electronics this and electronics that, and, you know, he needs to come up with X amount of money to get in it. But, I mean, he's really looking at getting into doing something. And, you know, he has not done anything like that in forever, in like 3 years. He hasn't even thought about stuff like that.
Right.
And what I like is when I look at him and I say, how many days do you have? He goes, 44. He doesn't even have to think, you know, because it's funny because I remember, like, you'd get pulled over by the cops or something. Oh, yeah? How many days you got sober? You know, like a couple of weeks. No, because when you're new in the program, you always know how much time. You know exactly how much time you have. I love it when you ask someone, what's your sobriety date? And they go, I don't know exactly. I know exactly. It's been a long time, and I know exactly when my recovery date is.
31 years, 8 months, and 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know? If you don't remember when your last drink was, you probably haven't had it.
Yeah. If you don't remember when it was. Now, I'm not saying you remember everything that happened during that last drink, because you may not. Yeah. And of course, we're in a time of year right now that recovery homes should start filling up pretty good right now, because usually it's a couple weeks after You know,
amateur night.
Amateur night, right? Because people that got drunk drivings then are probably getting out of jail around
their first appearance is coming up.
Yeah, their first appearance is coming up, and then they're gonna ask for Prop 36 or whatever. And
I'm going to meetings, Your Honor.
Yes, yes.
Give me back my honor, Your Honor.
If only. So, Shelly, let's say you've got a sponsee that comes to you and they're not feeling very grateful. What do you tell them?
Pray about it. And make a gratitude list. Although, sometimes I think the gratitude list is...
And click the heels of your ruby slippers together three times.
I was wondering if you were going to get to come up with the gratitude list.
Yeah, and I mean, that's an old standby that people throw
at you. It always
works.
It works every time.
70% of the time.
It works every time.
It does. 70% of the time, it works every time. But the other 30%...
Well, that doesn't even make sense.
You're not working it.
Well, that doesn't even make sense.
And but sometimes you do get to a point where you're like, yes, I am grateful for XYZ, yada yada yada, and you know all the things that you're grateful for, but at the same time, there's something you're going through that's just weighing on you so heavily that you're having to look. It's like looking through a gray veil.
Ooh.
And. Ooh. Especially the people that are duly diagnosed people, it's like me. It's like that gray veil will follow you around sometimes, and it's really hard to see through it to get to the gratitude. And you know it's there. There's a part of your brain that says, "Yes, I know what I have to be grateful for," but then the other part of your brain is still trying to process and work through this other stuff, and it can be an issue. Which is why I generally go to prayer first, because when all of the crap in my brain calms down, which is usually what happens when I pray, it's easier to be grateful. It's easier to find your path again.
Gray veil is not a bad name for the show, actually. So, Mark, obviously I know where one of these things is going to be, but what do you tell sponsees?
Just make a gratitude list. So we tell, there's nothing new here. There's nothing, I mean, it's like, there's not some like major, like, light that comes on. It's like, pray, make a gratitude list, go to a meeting, you know.
I love when you talk.
There's nothing new. I mean, that's what you do.
I love when you talk to, like, people that are new, and it's like, you're like, you know, this is program.
Yeah.
And this is like being in high school where they say, surprise, it's an open book test. You can use the book to accomplish the goals of this test.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if just using the open book test doesn't work, we're going to give you a personal tutor. We're going to call him a sponsor.
Yeah.
And any question you have at any time, you can ask him and he will help you at any given moment.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
It's like handed to you on a silver platter. Yeah.
And all you have to do is take the test and not fail, and you pass.
That's right. If you don't fail, you pass.
Yeah. You know.
We're going to give you the answers.
Yeah.
If you can't understand the answers clearly given you, we will give you a tutor who will beat the answers into you. With a baseball bat.
And while you're taking the test, if you don't know the answer, you can call the tutor and he'll give you the answer.
Yeah. It's
while you're taking the test.
It's interesting. There used to be a story about, it was called The Gift or something, and someone gives you the gift and you put it up on the shelf and you never open the gift.
Yeah.
And it was talking about the big book. You know, and this gift has been sitting there waiting for you on the shelf and you never opened it up, and it wasn't until you opened up the gift and read it that it helped you.
I think when you're new, one thing that actually helped me that my sponsor did with me was give me a task list. And they do that with a lot of newcomers, especially in sober living places. You get up, you make your bed, you brush your teeth, and you focus on just what each thing that you're doing, and you keep doing the next right indicated thing. You get to the end of the day and you look back and you say, wow, I did all these things. And it is a boost. You know, and all you did was the stuff that you needed to do every day, but it was the act of being focused on it, because it keeps your head out of negativity. because you're focused on doing what you need to do. And I did that for a while when I was new, one thing at a time. And that did give me some measure of gratitude, because then I felt more accomplished. I felt like I wasn't such a, you know, piece of crap because I accomplished something today. And actually, I think that would work for anybody, because my son actually came to me like 4 or 5 months ago because he was having some trouble. And I told him, I said, what can you do? What's the one thing you can do today that will better your situation? And he named something, and I said, okay, go home and do that. And I said, and then tomorrow, find the one thing that you can do that will help the situation. And he's doing fine now. You know, and that solved his problem.
Who was that?
Connor.
Oh.
My son. Our son. The son.
I missed that portion of it. That part. I thought you were talking about a sponsee.
No.
Because I was thinking your other sponsee said, I know what I can do. I can take off all my clothes in the parking lot and say, I'm not drunk. I got 90 days.
Yeah, and then I have another sponsee who said, I know what I can do. I can not go to any meetings and start hanging out at the wheel.
Yeah, do that.
I had another sponsee who said, I know what I can do. I can stop listening to you and I can drink, because as long as I'm not doing cocaine, everything is fine, even though, you know, I'm about to get kicked out of my house and my kid got taken away from me. That actually makes me really grateful, because I'm none of those people.
Yeah, you know what? And I was going to bring that up. That's one of the great things about working with newcomers. If you think you don't have blessings, work with some brand new people and hear how effed up their lives are, and then try and not be grateful. We used to do it when I was younger, and Courtney was, my daughter was quite small. She was 4 or 5 years old, and we actually took her with us a couple of times, went down and served breakfast to the homeless. Christmas morning, Skid Row, got down there at 5 a.m., you know, and after helping feed the homeless and running in and meeting all these people, then you go home to your bitchin' house with your bitchin' Christmas tree and the zillions of gifts underneath it, and you think, wow, how grateful am I that I'm not down there with my kids trying to get free breakfast meal in the morning because I have nothing, you know. And although I will tell you, there was a time when we were down there on Christmas, and I was shocked at the amount of outpouring to the homeless community at that time of year. Literally, when we were down there, while we were there, a Nike truck, diesel, pulled up and started handing out pairs of shoes of like whatever the hot thing at the time was, Air Jordans, $130 shoes, and I'm thinking, 90% of these are going to get sold to people to buy dope later today. But, you know, I mean, there was, I guess there's trucks go down there every day and take sack lunches and all of that stuff. And, and you know what? If you want to really talk about gratitude, you talk to the guy that's getting the free meal that didn't eat anything yesterday. And he's grateful. He's more grateful than the people that are down there serving breakfast to them who have bitching stuff at home. This guy is happy that he's getting a breakfast and a smoke and a cup of coffee. He's like, wow, what a great Christmas. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm a schlub, you know. Yeah. We actually saw a lot of celebrities do it at like noon and in the evening, because that's when all the television cameras go.
The news trucks are there, sure.
And the guy, Don Cheadle, actor Don Cheadle, was down there.
He's homeless?
And he was
no.
And he was down there at 5 in the morning, and he was in the back washing dishes and pots and stuff. Never once went out to be seen by anyone. I met him back there, and I was talking to him, and I told him, I said, that's really cool that you come in here, because I do it all the time. And he goes, and I go, how come you don't come later? Like, he goes, because that's when everyone comes that wants to be seen helping. And he goes, I don't care about being seen helping. I just want to help. And I thought that was pretty cool. So, Shelley, what would your final words on the gray veil or blessings or whatever we'll call it be?
I think even when I feel I don't have anything, my last refuge is always my higher power.
Mark?
my life works best when I live with an attitude of gratitude.
Ah.
Bruce?
Lift the gray veil so you can see your blessings. Oh. Shelly.
What?
There's a really cool t-shirt store.
That would be Terminally Unique Apparel at terminallyuniqueapparel.com. You can also get there by clicking on the banner on our show page. We've got some great designs for you to try out. Come on and buy some shirts. It will be fun, she said.
Mark, we have a cool sponsor who also has some of those shirts at their store.
We do. That would be the 12-Step Store. My 12-Step Store and my12stepstore.com. And, man, you can go there and you can find whatever recovery-related stuff
gifts.
You're looking to buy. Gifts, books, shirts, everything, chips. Go check it out. And thank you for supporting. And actually, go there through our site at recovery101.net.
Yeah, that would probably be cool because you could certainly go there directly, and we encourage people to do that as well. If you go through our site, they will probably know that you came through our site. That would probably be good.
Yeah.
Shelly, we have friends back east in the Neyland Empire.
We do. What? At the 12stepgazette.com and at step12magazine.com.
.com, part two.
The first one is the Back East edition of that newsletter, and the second is the Southern California Inland Empire edition. You can go and read lots of interesting articles and subscribe and whatnot.
So awesome.
Go.
What?
And whatnot.
Not? What?
And yes. There are knots of whats.
And Mark?
Yes.
People are listening.
I've heard.
I've seen.
We thank them.
We do.
And thanks for listening, and however you get the show, we ask that you go to the aforementioned site at recovery101.net. That'll direct you to our Podomatic site, and once you get there, you will, if you're not yet a member of Podomatic, become one. It's free.
And fun.
Once you are a member, you can like and comment and follow and add us to playlists and do all that cool crap we ask you to do at the end of every show.
And it really helps.
It does. We appreciate it.
If you are Facebook friendly, it's super easy to join Podomatic. It'll say join with Facebook. You click join with Facebook. And if you're logged in to Facebook already, you don't have to do anything else. It'll just do it automatically. If you are not logged into Facebook, it may ask you to give your login. They will not spam your Facebook page at all. They will send you one email every time a show is uploaded for someone you follow. And, you know, there's lots of other cool shows there as well. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you'd like to join the secret group, which is a secret, so not that easy to find, you can ask to join the secret group by sending us a message at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page.
We'll say no.
Or you can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, and they can add you to that group as well. They would be happy to do so. You can banter about with the people in the group and the people that we do the boozy news and that you hear shout-outs to and all of that. If you'd like to send us an email, send it to recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topic ideas and rants and raves and things like that there as well. If you are a recovery entertainer of some kind, you're a songwriter or a singer, or you're in a band or you're a comedian or something, you would like us to use your stuff for lead out entertainment, send us some MP3s. That is the preferred format. Also send us a picture that you would like us to use to turn into a clickable link, and then a web address you would like that clickable link to go to, be it a YouTube page or a SoundCloud page or Reverb Nation or your Facebook or whatever. And we'll do that for free and for fun. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Hell yeah. Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
Amp.
Amp, another misguided prophet. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I just ask, can you listen? I just gotta get this off my chest. This is killing me. It's killing me.
GloryMusic.com.
I ask you to hear me out. My hands up, I'm cleaning out my closet. My life, I lost it. I'm honest, I'll tell the truth. I only need you, Lord, to see me through. Help me reach the people that need you. Cause I know I
did,
and
your
I still do. I'm
today.
Talking to that thief, I'm talking to that liar, I'm talking to that person walking in hell and fire. I'm talking to the kids that see nothing but violence. I'm talking to that addict, problems inside them. I'm talking to you, AMP. You's a thief, you's a liar, a G walking in hell and fire. You're an alcoholic that just knows violence. Come help me, Lord, my mind won't be quiet. I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul. Lord, I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. I will not be who I was yesterday. Come on. I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul. Lord, I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way. First off, I apologize to everyone I hurt in my life. Alcohol, sex, drugs, I have no excuses. That's just what it was. I hurt some of my family, I hurt some of my friends, I hurt so many women, I can't begin. I was engaged, I was the reason it ended. Pistol in my hand, my life almost ended. I seen that devil, he looked at me back. Liquor bottle in hand, I was not looking back. Thank you to DJ, thank you to April. The Lord sent you both from heaven to come save me. Hope my words touch, hope my words reach you. I am not perfect, I make mistakes. I'm determined to be someone different today. AMP will change his mindset and ways.
Today.
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul. Lord, I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. I will not be who I was yesterday. Come on. I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul. Lord, I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. Lord, come and take me. Show me the way. I pray to the Lord. Lord, I know the saying. Preach, I am a sinner. I will not be who I was yesterday. Come on. That he keeps my soul. Lord, you reap what you sow. Preach, I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way. That's not my whole story. It's some of it. And I hope I was able to help somebody. May God bless you.